Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thought about the heart of a pastor. The heart of a pastor is when he knows that the lost are found. So since I've already taken very much time, I'm going to just hit the high points here. Because I do believe that it's a word for somebody, or for somebody to tell somebody. Because when I listen to Pastor Jerry talk, just being around him, he is an encourager. He is a prayer warrior. You ask him to pray, get ready. You say, I want you to pray about something. Okay. He don't mean tomorrow. He going to pray right now. And so you have an incredible pastoral team here at Westmoreland Church. My thought is, and it's a simple scripture, Jesus told three stories with one message. He told about a lost sheep. He told about a lost coin, and then he told about a lost son. It's a real simple scripture, but if you'll go with me to Luke chapter 15, I'll pick it up at verse 11. And I'll try not to, I know it's the day you're going to fellowship and eat together. I can tell you I've had a great time. And my brother, you're right about this pulpit area. This is a place of freedom here. This is a place of anointing. There is an anointing in this pulpit. I moved down there so I could hear the speakers better. In case you wonder why, I just couldn't hear these. So I moved down there so I could hear them better when I was singing that song. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that falleth me. And he divided unto him his living. We don't know all that story, but we know what happened. Not many days after the young son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country. And there, I want you to watch this. He wasted his substance with riotous living. That kind of tells the story. Because you're talking about unruly, rowdy, disorderly, disruptive, out of control, ungovernable. You're talking about a person that is undisciplined. You're talking about a person that has become desensitized, morally down the wrong road. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Think about that. First time in his life that he had ever been here. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would have willingly or fain have filled his belly. He willingly would have filled his belly with husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. I know a pastor's heart is searching for the lost sheep. The lost coin represented the value of an individual. What keeps a pastor up at night is when he's thinking about where were they at last week? What are they doing today? Their family situation, maybe he got a call to the house, or maybe he heard something by the grapevine and it concerns him. Then he looks and he sees that their chair is empty. I want you to think about this. Because a pastor notices. Don't always know exactly how to respond, or I don't. But obviously, this guy had hit rock bottom. And verse number 17 is my key verse. That says, when he came to himself. When he came to himself. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about a thinking shift. A thinking shift. There is in our land today, there is so much going on in church. I'm talking about in the world. There are so many people that have forgotten about conviction. They've lost. They don't even know what conviction is. They don't even know what that is. But when the preacher preaches something that steps on their toes, they're not convicted. They're offended. We're living in a land where even Pentecostal churches have become desensitized. Watching what we watch, going where we go, doing what we do. And we have no blush. We have no shame. There's no shame about it. I believe that God is speaking to the church, and I believe that he's speaking to his people. I also want to throw in here into the equation, the best way I know to say it is what sunk the Titanic was an iceberg. Everybody knows that they saw the iceberg. But here's the deal. What they saw is not what sunk them. It's what they didn't see. Often what people see is not necessarily exactly what's going on down. See, it was underneath that water that caused what damage happened in the lives that were lost. Our belief system, if you can put that in and visualize that, that belief system that is down inside of us that causes us, I don't know what happened to this guy. I don't know what made him say, Daddy, I want my stuff and I want to go. But obviously it wasn't that quick as fast as I read it. It was probably a back and forth, and down inside this guy's being, somebody had led him wrong or told him wrong. And he said, I want my money and I want my stuff and I'm going to leave. And his daddy finally, according to the Bible, gave it to him and he left, right? But a famine came and he had spent all that he had. He had wasted what he had and he hit rock bottom. And we pick it up here that evidently mom and dad had told him something right. See, while he was in the mud puddle, while he was in the pig pen back at the house, oh, Lord, oh, God, you see my boy. You see my girl, Lord. Oh, Lord. I don't know when you'll do it. I don't know how you'll do it. But, oh, Lord. It just starts coming from your innermost being. Now, maybe you don't pray that way. I find it easier to just let it come out in a hymn. Tehillah praise and a word to the Lord. And as I'm praying, I enter into that time. I do it on Monday night at community prayer. I just somehow oh, and when I don't have it, he gives me a new song. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning, he'll give you a new song. Maybe you've been singing the old song too long and you're ready for a new song. He'll give you that new song this morning. And I believe that somehow we're going to get this thing across to you that what God wants to do for a lot of people is just give them a thinking shift. The Bible says in Psalms 118, it's new thinking. See, the devil wants to convince you that you're going to die. I shall not die but live and proclaim the works of the Lord. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Many years ago, I pastored a church. It was one of my first pastorates back in the 80s. And I preached about the joy of the Lord. And a lady walked in, and that night, it was a Sunday night. She came to me and she said, Brother Ray, this is as good as it's going to get. This is how I'm going to praise the Lord. And I've often thought, I mean, that was so impressionable. There are some folks that they just can't, if she could have just got a thinking shift and understood that the joy of the Lord would be her strength and would get her through next Tuesday. Amen. During the Great Depression, I'm talking about a thinking shift miracle this morning. Reversing fear to faith. I know your pastor believes in this, so it's easy for me to do this. In the midst of a Great Depression in 1933, President Franklin Roosevelt said that this great nation will endure as it has endured, and will revive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert, he said, my firm belief, in that belief system, that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. I submit to you this morning that many people are afflicted with panic disorder, depression, phobias, psychological, mental distress. And I ask the question, can God fix it? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. I submit not only can he fix it, but he will fix it. I like that. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. A shifting of your thoughts can cause you to walk in victory. The devil has kept you bound and defeated long enough. I believe somebody in here this morning is about to get a shift in your life. There's about to come a paradigm. Hey, God is about to move you from point A to point B to take you to a miracle that you've been believing for. According to the Apostle Paul, one of the main keys to transformation has to do with changing the way we think. It may not be the circumstances that God needs to change at all. It just may be our thought process, because our thoughts control our lives and our thoughts control our actions. Solomon said, be careful how you think, for your life is shaped by your thoughts. It's true. Let me say this. It's true that you can't control what you think, but you can control your actions, and you can change your thinking. That's what you call the thinking shift. Actions take place as a result of a thought. Good and bad thoughts. Our minds wander in many directions. Our thoughts have consequences. An affair begins with a thought. A lazy Sunday begins with a thought. A robbery begins with a thought. A word of gossip begins with a thought. A hate action begins with a thought. An argument begins with a thought. A fight begins with a thought. Are you ready for some good news? An apology. A blessing begins with a thought. Even a graduation, a date, a marriage, a wedding begins with a thought. If somehow you can control, if you can shift your thoughts, you can control your behavior, and God can use you to do great exploits for Him, for His kingdom. Can you shout amen, church? Now let me give a little disclaimer. Many thoughts that stir inside of our minds come from others. There are words from others that get stuck on our thought wall. Words like worthless, useless, no good, dumb, unattractive, stupid, you can't. And the devil, our enemy himself, orchestrates such negativity. This morning, I simply believe that God has a thinking shift miracle for somebody in store. A thinking shift miracle for somebody over here. A thinking shift miracle for somebody over here. A thinking shift miracle for somebody over here that will be willing to say, I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I can be all God says I can be. That kind of thinking is what I'm talking about this morning. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You may be one of those that's got some words stuck to your wall. God wants to mark through it this morning and put, yes, you can. God wants to mark through those words. See, I remember that they say sticks and stones can break your heart, can break your bones, but word can never hurt you, and that's wrong. Because I remember, I'm 63 years old, but I remember some of the things that were said to me on a block, on the play field. I remember when my grandma sat there at the piano, positionally. She was playing the piano. The little grand boy was over here. That was me. I was playing with two fingers. And I remember the man that come up to me, his name was Bud. Bud come up to me and said, get off that piano, boy. You won't ever play it. Oh. I remember going into to the Burger House on Carolina Beach Road in Wilmington. Some of y'all know Wilmington. You know there's a Merritt's Burger House there. It used to have the best cheeseburgers in the world. But anyway, I lived right there as a little boy, and I was a young boy. And my brother, I went over there and was buying a sandwich. I was just a kid, but I had a song in my heart, and I was just whistling a song. I don't know what it was. I don't remember what it was. All I know is that lady looked at me and said, quit that whistling, boy. And she zapped the song right out of me. Oh my. I've come here today to tell you that I'm believing that somebody will have a revelation, and that somebody will have a revolution, that the stinking thinking put in your mind by somebody else. Somebody might have told you to get off that instrument. You can't play it. Yes, you can. Somebody might have told you to quit that singing. You can't sing. Honey, you got a song in your heart. Just, yeah, yeah. Listen, I'm not singing for them anyway. You understand? I wish I'd have thought of that when I was a little boy. I wish I'd have thought to tell her that. I won't do it for you. I was doing it for the King of Glory. I was singing my song for God. Don't you let anybody zap your joy. Don't you let anybody zap your song. From you, if a word is stuck on the thought wall, it's time for a thinking shift. I believe that God wants to mark through it. Many are sitting in churches today, spiritually numb, possibly saved, bitter, and cold. I call them the chosen frozen. They love God, but they're just stuck because they see these images that God never intended for you. It might have come from a relative. It might have come from a parent. I don't know. Might have come from a sibling. But I tell you this, if you could just somehow remember today, that's not how God wants me to think. God wants me to think. So I come back to the familiar story of the prodigal. An out-of-control son that was most likely, more than likely, raised better. He knew better. However, he was lost in his thoughts. He became reckless in his lifestyle, spending inheritance money, wasted resources, living on the wild side of life. One day, the resources were depleted. Everything was gone. The girls, the entertainment, the lavish lifestyle was gone. The friends, they are gone now. There arose a great famine in the land, and for the first time in his life, he began to be in need. He had never known a day of needing anything. He got a job feeding the pigs out in the pig pen. The mud was on his belly. It was on his arms. It was on his face. The mud, he stunk like a pig. It was a place in his life illustrated by Jesus that he had never known. See, when I think of a pastor, I think of a pastor looking into the guttermost to see somebody saved to the uttermost. And I know that God can do it. And the Bible says in Luke 15 and 17, and when he came to himself, back at the house, back at the house, mom and dad, oh Lord, save Junior. You might be country. Oh Lord, save Junior today. Oh Lord, save Junior. Use Junior one day in your sweet way. Oh Lord. And every day, dad would walk out there looking at the end of the road. Every day believing that his son would be saved. The heart of the pastor pleads with God to help his sheep to change their thinking. Just like moms and dads, God uses people. People that are still praying. He had everything he needed. This guy had everything he needed. He was blessed exceedingly with all the needs supplied by his father. But he got into some negative thinking. Don't assume that people that go to church hadn't run their mind in negative ways. Because it does happen. I'm not saying that it happened here. But I am saying, as a messenger of God's word, and you've honored me to fill this pulpit today on this Pastor's Appreciation Day, God wants to remind you, when you go into that gutter, get out. Get out now. Get out now. Get out now. Get out now. Now's the time. Shift that thinking. Shift that thinking. I deal with guys at prison every week, and they tell me their testimony. Those that have been saved, they call it jailhouse religion. I know of a lot of guys that's left there and have gone on to do great things for God. But one of them, I'm trying to think of his name, but I probably don't need to say it anyway. But he told me how he was in Miami and how that the Lord told him, don't go down that road. The Lord told me not to go down that road, chaplain. That's what he called me, Chaplain Ray. Chaplain Faircloth, the Lord told me not to go down that road, but I went anyway. And the next thing I knew, guns were pulled. And he spent 8 years in prison for doing whatever he was a part of. Thinking shift. That's what the Lord is speaking this morning. The Bible says, and I just want to encourage moms and dads that maybe your children is, maybe they're not in the mud puddle, but they've gone a wrong route. Don't you give up, mom. Don't you give up, dad. Don't you give up on those children. Don't you give up. Acts 16 and 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and your household. I put a claim on that. I put a claim on that for my family. Amen. I was at the Brunswick County Hospital many years ago, back in the 80s. And there was an elderly man there. He was about 80 years old. And his sister invited me to come and to say a prayer with him. And I looked at him and I said, Mr. Gray, it's getting late, sir. Do you know that if you died today that you'd be with Jesus? And he said, no, sir. And I said, Mr. Gray, would you like to ask Jesus to be your Lord? This could be your final chance, sir. And I don't know. It was a thinking shift. Something happened. I don't know what exactly I said, but it caused him to say, I'm ready. And Mr. Gray closed his eyes and bowed his head and asked the Lord to forgive him, and tears ran down his face, and he gave his heart and life to the Lord. And 15 minutes later, they walked in and he breathed his last breath. And his sister stood over there just like that and said, God saved him for mama. God saved him for mama. God saved him for mama. I want to tell you, it might be in the late hour, but God will save your household and God will save your children. Now let me wind this down. You may not be in a pig pen of life, but you might be in a pen. You might be, in fact, there are guys in prison that are free. And there are people in the free world that are bound. They're bound. They're all locked up and they're all chained down. I wonder when we sing that song, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. And I know that there are people going through services singing that song, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. And I'm just saying in my life, in my heart, in my soul, my God, if they'll just get a thinking shift and just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can drop those chains and they can lift those hands and they can be free in Jesus Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise in his house. Almost done. I think for somebody it might be time for a thinking shift. That's the prayer. When we talk about the lost sheep or the lost lamb, and we talk about the lost coin, the value of a soul. Even the lost axe head was precious. And the prophet said, where fell it? Where did you lose it? Where did you lose? It's a matter of just believing God. You know that the prophet Elisha took the stick and he put it in the water and something happened. I don't know if it happened in the chemicals or something, but it caused that axe head to come up on top and start swimming on top of the water. I don't know where you are today. I don't know. You may be as saved and on your way to heaven as it gets. But you may be one of those that's listening to me by the internet or in this place today. And you're saying, preacher, you know, I really am stuck. Here's all I'm saying. When he came to himself, when he realized what God's word says, he said, I believe I'll go home. I believe I'll go home. There's plenty. My service, I don't even have to be a servant. I don't have to be a son. I'll just be one of his servants. He don't even have to call me a son. But when he turned around, when he came to himself and he got up out of that mud puddle and he come home and he started down the road, there was his daddy waiting on him. I want to tell you, I don't care how far you've run. Your heavenly Father, the great shepherd, is going to be standing right there waiting on you. He knows where you are. He's out calling your name right now. In fact, that's the conviction that I'm talking about. Don't be offended today. Just let the conviction power of God touch your life and get that little thinking shift in your life and decide, I don't want to be offended. I want this conviction to draw me closer to God than I've ever been in my life. When thoughts of my past come to oppress me and minimize my worship to God, I just shift. Because it happens to everybody, I guess. The enemy will try to throw something in your face. Just shift. It's a thinking shift. That is not who I am. The devil will accuse you, and you can say, well, that might have been who I used to be, but that's not who I am today. I am not broken. I am not useless. I am not weak. I am not incapable of doing all that God says I can do. I am not defeated. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven. I'm sanctified. I'm glorified. One day I'll be glorified. I'm justified by the blood of the Lamb. One day I'll be glorified when he calls me home. I am in Christ Jesus. I am led by the Spirit. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Tell the devil he's a liar. My God, we praise you this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, get on your feet and let's praise the Lord in this house today. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the country. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am alive in Christ. I'm free from the law of sin and death. I am far from oppression, and I will not live in fear. Hallelujah. 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 I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. 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 I preached a revival here years ago, 10 years ago, I guess it was. And they sung that song about being redeemed. Being redeemed. Then there's that, I am redeemed, bought with the price Jesus has made life. If anybody asks just who I am, won't you tell them I am redeemed. I am redeemed with the price Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. Just in case somebody's here this morning, I'm done, I'm finished. But just in case somebody's here this morning and they'd say, preacher, I'm stuck. I really want to make a public confession of my faith in Jesus Christ. I want a thinking shift in my life. I want the world. I want my parents. I want my friends. I want my children. I want, folk going to know when you get really good and saved. They're going to know when you get good and redeemed. They're going to know when you get good and sanctified and set apart. They're going to know. Folks going to know. How you know? I just believe you have to tell it. I enjoyed these testimonies this morning. Testimonies are important. You know the woman at the well? She ran back. She left her water pots and she ran back to tell. That's what I'm saying. If somebody have to, you're going to have to tell somebody. In fact, I tell at my church, that even your dog will know when you got born again. I believe that. Let me pray for you. If there is someone here, I'll meet with you. You're one of those that you feel that the Word has spoken to you. You can come up right now. These pastors, they care more about your soul and that life shift than they do a piece of chicken. So if you are here this morning, then you can come. Heavenly Father, I ask that you will write these words upon the table of our hearts. I pray this morning that the songs that we've sung and the music that we've shared, I pray that the passage that we've shared and the thought will help somebody in a desperate time. The lady that shared with me a thought from my sermon years ago about Henry touched my heart this morning. And I believe that there's somebody here that will remember in a very desperate time that there can be a thinking shift if they'll just come to themselves, change that is inside of them, and allow the Holy Spirit to replenish it with the good things. Think on these things, things that are pure, things that are true, things that are right. Things that are of honor. Think on these things. And God, we just pray that you'll bless this word to go forth. And these people as we go forth. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. We praise. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. He's worthy. He's worthy.
Amen. Glory. Don't know about you, but I've already been fed. Amen. It's great to be here at the Lord's table today. Amen. Today, being Pastor Appreciation, we would like, first of all, our guest, Reverend Ray Faircloth, his charming wife, Miss Jenny, to go first in the line. Don't jump in front of them. And I want our pastor and his wife and Pastor Ricky and his wife and Nate and Katie to be next. And then our elderly people, let them be next. And if